To talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
By the way, some of you who fast blast me and you want information on the music, we post it right after we're off the air. And you can find it under show information. We've got it all laid out for you in the order that it plays on the program. By the way, one of my engineers came in here and I showed him this Google satellite map thing. And we looked at his house. It was fascinating. And right in the middle of it, someone was stealing his barbecue grill, just wheeling it away. No, I'm kidding. Back in a moment. I bet with these satellites, they're so incredible that they can even see crimes being committed. They can go back. I wonder if you can ever use that as evidence. Maybe not. Maybe they'll cite, you know, classified national defense or something like that, and you can't do that. It's incredible technology, Mitch, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you something. I have gotten two moving violations here in New York City because I mistakenly went through traffic lights and my license plate was photographed. I had very mixed feelings about it. Although I do drive more carefully now.
Good for you. Good for you. Hey, are there people out there who practice and teach the occult in a good way to people?
Absolutely. I think there are a number of terrific groups out there. One of the ones that I'm most fond of is the Philosophical Research Society. They are an organization that was founded in the 1930s by a man named Manly P. Hall, who wrote The Secret Teachings of All Ages. And they're on the web at prs.org. There's another organization which is called Builders of the Adytum. Adytum is Greek for inner temple, and they are online. They're known by the initials B-O-T-A, BOTA. And I think they are BOTA.com. If it's not .com, it's .org. They are a mail order school that gives lessons in tarot and Kabbalah, and I think they do very fine work. So if people want to hook up with two legitimate organizations, those are good places to start. Another outstanding place is the Association for Research and Enlightenment, which is the organization that Edgar Cayce founded. And you can visit them at edgarcayce.org. They do everything from astrological readings to alternative health workshops. They provide Edgar Cayce's readings online. They have a very good magazine called Venture Inward, which I've written for, and they do all kinds of good work. So there are a lot of good schools out there.
I'd say it's a great organization to belong to. It doesn't cost a lot of money, and that gives you access, by the way, to all of Edgar Cayce's medical readings and everything else.
It gives you access to all of Cayce's medical readings. It gives you a subscription to a very good magazine, and I must tell you, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, which is based in Virginia Beach, is run by just the nicest group of people I've ever met. It is my favorite growth center and metaphysical school in the United States. I have visited it frequently. It's a wonderful place to visit, and you can just really feel the spirit and the goodwill of Edgar Cayce permeating that place.
I interviewed his grandson, Edgar Cayce, several months ago.
Oh, Charles Thomas.
But we called him Edgar. I mean, I guess he calls himself Edgar.
Does he? I've always called him Charles Thomas.
There's one out there named Edgar.
That's right. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Edgar Evans.
Yes.
Edgar
yes, Evans. Yes, yes.
Yes, another grandson.
And anyway, I promoted it as I'm going to be talking to Edgar Cayce, and
yes.
I did. And people were calling in going, oh, my God, how can you do that?
But no, that would be a great show.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the phones. We'll pick it up and going to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Is this me?
Yes, it is.
It's great to speak with you, George and Mitch.
Thank you.
First-time caller, first-time online, been listening for about 9 years.
Well, I'm glad you got in.
First thing I wanted to say, because I was listening while I was on hold, is if Mitch ever considered the experience he had with the stone. Now, I'm gonna hang up after I'm done with everything I had to say, but with a rock roll now, if that might have been Sasquatch oriented, that's not too uncommon for the, you know, birds to be quiet and the stone falling. But shadow people, I've talked to three people who don't even listen to Coast to Coast. They're not up that late, and they've talked about seeing shadow people. And I was wondering if there's any books or if there's any general consensus on what shadow people are. Is there an explanation? Are they ghosts? Are they demons? Are they, you know, are they from another realm? I just want, you know, if you guys could answer those questions for me, that would be great. And I'll hang up and listen.
All right. I don't know of any books that I can recommend on shadow people. I would start with an internet search. There are a number of good magazines that deal with some of these subjects, like Atlantis Rising and Fate. You might go to their websites and check out their archives. And with respect to Sasquatch, because I was in an area where people had talked about these little people or Aluxes, and everything was so silent and this unusual event happened, the first thing my mind went to is, this is what the local folks have been talking about.
By the way, our webmaster says it's BOTA, BOTA.org.
.org.
Moving along, let's go to our west of the Rockies line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George?
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Troy from Glendale, Arizona.
Hi, Troy. Glad to have you with us.
Great. I've been listening to your show for a little bit, and I listen to it on the internet over here. Let's talk a little bit about numerology, if we could.
Sure. Go ahead.
Mitch, how knowledgeable are you about numerology?
Fairly knowledgeable. It's not something that I've worked with extensively. I have some serious questions about it, but I do know some people who swear by it.
Okay. Well, see, I just recently learned that John Lennon was big into numerology, and the number 9 ruled his life.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a little bit freaked out right now because I just started doing some research on myself.
Yeah.
And everything from the day I was born through all the major events in my life has been tied into the number 9.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in Hawthorne, California, mm-hmm. which has 9. I was born on the 27th, which is 9. I just died recently from a major heart attack on the 18th. Which is 8 and 9. I could go on and on and on and on and on.
Well, you made a great recovery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. But my question is I've been trying to research what the number 9 actually means, and all I've been getting is a lot of websites that will tell me what the number 9 means if I pay $20.
Well, I think we'll do a little bit better than that.
Okay.
First of all, it's interesting what you mentioned about John Lennon feeling that his life was ruled by the number 9, because John Lennon lived in Manhattan, where I live, and he lived on 72nd Street, 72
right.
being 9. Now, first of all, there are a number of books out there on numerology that go through the meaning of the different numbers, but I want to make a more general comment about numerology. It is one of the divinatory arts that I have some questions about, because the fact is, in the Hebrew alphabet and in the Greek alphabet, the characters, the letters of the alphabet themselves, correspond directly to numbers. We don't have that in our English alphabet. We have an Arabic set of numbers that we use, and then we have a set of script English letters. So what we're trying to do with numerology to begin with is import a Hebrew and Greek system into our culture. Now, people have a lot of different methods for doing that, and I'm not going to go into all of them here, but I've always kind of had a funny itch about numerology because it doesn't exactly correspond from the ancient cultures into ours. That's number one. Number two, I wouldn't look at any single number as being deterministic of anything. I think you have to look at these things, and I think you have to use your own intuition in connection to them. Now, John Lennon led a wonderful life, and I don't know that the tragic end that he met with had anything to do with the number 9 or numerology or anything else. I think there's all kinds of laws that we live under. There are accidents that happen to us. There's happenstance. I don't view any number or anything else in the divinatory arts as being a conclusive sentence that one thing or another is going to happen to you. I wouldn't go giving $20 to anybody over the internet or, you know, someone who hasn't been referred to me by a friend. I think the best way to find someone to help you read and understand some of the divinatory methods is word of mouth. I wouldn't just turn around and use anybody that you find on the internet. And if I were you, I would go looking for some basic books on numerology. There are many of them out there, and I think that that's a way to begin your own search, because what you're going to find and what you are going to be able to learn from your own intuition is more important than what any third party is going to tell you.
Okay, and also numberslady.com, Glynis has some free information on numbers there for you.
Okay.
All right.
Well, real good. Hey, appreciate it, guys.
Absolutely. Good night.
Appreciate you being part of the program. International Line, welcome to Coast. Where are you calling from?
Toronto, Canada.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Mr. Norrie and Mr. Horowitz, it's an honor to speak to two beacons of light. A real pleasure. I have a comment. So my name is Andragon. And I have a comment and a question.
All right.
For ages, humanity has been taught by the older cultures, the ancient truth that all races of beings are brought into existence and brought into being by the mother and father of all beings. And it's refreshing to hear Brother Horace bring the truth about the knowledge of the female deities to Coast to Coast. I'm moved to see that and to know that. My question is this. I'm the author and husband of a mythical being who's a mother and wife and craftsman who's also at the same time a remote viewer. I'm sorry, I'm nervous. A remote viewer, an extraterrestrial who also happens to be one of the eldest gods in the cosmos. Now, she has written a book manuscript called The Autobiography of a God, The True Story of an Ancient Avatar Who Was Here to Bring All Beings Together. My question is, is there any way for me to be able to get in contact with someone like Brother Horowitz, who is one of the disciples and one of the teachers of the cult tradition, for him to be able to have this book manuscript brought to his attention?
Well, let me mention two things. First of all, bravo to you. I'm glad that you're calling from Canada. I think one of the great figures in the American occult was a Canadian-born gentleman named Manly T. Hall, who we've mentioned a few times earlier in this conversation. Manly Hall wrote, I think, probably the greatest compendium of occult knowledge of the 20th century, The Secret Teachings of All Ages. He was born in Canada, emigrated to the U.S., and he made his home in Los Angeles. It's just something I wanted to mention in tribute to your great country. Anybody who visits my website can reach me. I try to make myself very accessible and very available. Of course, I have a job, I have a family, I have all kinds of things in my life, just like everyone else, so I'm not always able to answer as fully or as completely to queries as I might hope to, but anybody who wants to reach me can go to my website, and I'm around.
Did this start as a hobby for you and then kind of explode into something?
I would say it started almost immediately as a passion. As soon as I was put in touch with some of these ideas, I realized the truth in them, and I never looked back. You know, years ago, I was a fairly prominent editor of political books, and for me, the sun rose and set on politics. That was my primary interest, and religion and spirituality was a distant second.
Why?
And I came in touch with a group of ideas about 15 years ago that told me there was a much deeper veil to be pierced in this life than anything that could be penetrated by politics. As soon as I found those ideas, they became a passion.
Interesting. And a passion indeed for you. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes.
Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning.
I looked up occult in the dictionary. Basically, what it boils down to is secret knowledge.
Yes. It comes from the Latin word occultum.
Well, isn't it strange how all of our lives we're told to stay away from the occult, and the government mainly tells us to stay away from the occult. When it comes right down to it, our government is the biggest occult society on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that
most likely?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, if we want to understand the true spirit of the occult, substitute the word experiential for secret, because the idea of the occult being secret is not that this information or these concepts are concealed or kept away from people, but they have to be searched out. That's the true nature of the occult. What the occult demands is that we become seekers. So substitute the word experiential for secret, and I think we get closer to the heart of what the occult really is. People who keep secrets as a means of wielding power, I would say, have nothing to do with the authentic tradition of the occult.
What would you call, like, Skull and Bones? Would you call them an occult group?
I would probably call them a bunch of spoiled sissies if they were in the room, but I suppose, no, I would not call them an occult group. I would call them an exclusive fraternal order. I don't think they have anything to do with the occult.
How about the Bohemian Grove?
I think, you know, the occult welcomes everybody, regardless of their sex, their background, their religion, their race, whatever walk of life they come from. The true occult tradition welcomes them in. It doesn't make boundaries and distinctions between people. So fraternal organizations that are limited to a certain economic group or a certain gender or a certain class of people, that's just elitism. It's not occultism.
If a certain group of people got together and practiced, let's say, the Black Mass, how would you categorize them?
Well, if I wanted to be charitable, I would probably say they were free thinkers. You know, I take a live and let live attitude about these things. I would want to know how they categorize themselves to begin with. I mean, if somebody calls themselves a Satanist and that's how they want to be known, that, you know, that's how I'll call them, and I'll still regard them as my neighbor. But I don't really want to put labels on people. I'm more interested in how people conceive of themselves. And then after that, I'm interested in whether their own actions live up to the label that they claim.
I had a guest on about a year ago who calls himself a Luciferian. He believes it, he practices it, and that's what he does.
Well, you know, in the original Greek, Lucifer means light bringer. Lucifer was originally an angel. He became a fallen angel. In John Milton's Paradise Lost, he's presented as a figure of some degree of texture, and there are some people who, I think, partly acting on a literary tradition, seize upon that label, and they feel that it's another way of saying they are self-reliant, they are self-assertive, they are strong individuals. If somebody wants to put that label on himself, then, you know, he's free to. I mean, they're going to have to deal with a lot of prejudice, but that's going to be their burden to bear.
Didn't Abraham Lincoln dabble in the occult a little bit?
Well, I think there is reason to believe that he did. As a matter of fact, there has been speculation that Lincoln, through his wife, consulted with a spiritualist medium. There was a book published in this country in the late 19th century called Was Abraham Lincoln a Spiritualist? It was written by a woman named Nettie Coburn Maynard. Nettie Coburn Maynard was a popular medium in the mid-19th century in this country, and according to the account in her book, which is a very vividly written book, she was ushered into the Lincoln's private quarters just after the start of the Civil War, and Lincoln, who at that time had signed but not acted to enforce the Emancipation Proclamation, was given a spirit reading by her in which he was informed that should he enforce the Emancipation Proclamation, that would be the chief thing for which he would be remembered. And there are accounts that on other occasions, he and Mrs. Lincoln consulted with spiritualists. Now, this is not all that unusual, considering, as we mentioned earlier in our conversation, that in the mid-19th century in this country, about 10% of the population was involved in one way or another with spiritualism. Nancy Reagan consulted an astrologer.
Yes, she did.
Hillary Clinton consulted with a friend of mine, Dr. Jean Houston, where they did some creativity exercises that some people classified as a seance.
I think Hillary thought she was talking to Eleanor Roosevelt once.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not unusual that people in powerful positions will avail themselves of metaphysical methods. So I think there's a very serious possibility that spiritualism played some role in the Lincoln administration.
We'll be back. We'll take final phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Want to time travel? Go back to past shows on StreamLink. Sign up online at coasttocoastam.com. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
On our next Coast to Coast program, first hour, Richard C. Hoagland down there at Coral Castle, and we're going to be chatting with Richard about some things that could be going on down there. You know, Coral Castle, where Edward Leed Skolnin moved these huge blocks of stone, much like they did at the pyramids. And then, of course, we'll have our open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. But when we come back, the rest of your phone calls with our guest Mitch Horowitz and the occult. By the way, those of you who still cannot find the Google satellite map, if you just go to the coasttocoastam.com website, you'll look at the picture on the left from listener emails on the HARP, and there's a little link there that Lex has set up. You just click that. That'll take you right to Google Maps. And what you do is you'll just type in an address up there on the address section, and then on the far right, click satellite. And then you should be in good shape there. And then you can zoom in and everything else. I think the pictures might be a couple years old because there's a picture of me there when I went to a St. Louis address. And I'm not there. I'm here. So to the phones we go. Mitch, let me ask you this, too. In terms of occult, do you believe in mediums, those people?
Yes, I would approach it carefully because I think there have been a lot of frauds among people who call themselves mediums. I think there are some authentic cases. The spiritualist movement in this country attracted a lot of fraudulent activity, and it's difficult to sort through what is authentic versus what is con artistry. I do believe that there is authentic mediumship. And that there is a possibility of talking to entities on the other side. but I would advise that people approach it skeptically.
Yeah, I think so. I think if there's really a good one out there, you got to stick with that person. But as you said, I would say 95% of them probably can't do what they say.
Yeah, there's something to be said for word of mouth. You know, talking to your friends and finding colleagues, you know, in these metaphysical pursuits can be very important. You know, sitting in front of the internet and sifting through hundreds of websites and trying to figure out what's the real deal versus what's con artistry can be difficult. I mean, when we buy a new car, we ask the advice of our friends. You know, when we're trying to look into the inner meaning of our lives, we shouldn't go it alone. Be at least as careful as you would be when you buy a new car. Talk to friends, get advice, think over the options. Don't act impulsively.
To the phones we go. We'll get the people who have been waiting the longest, of course. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome to the
George.
Show. Yes, sir.
Yes. I just got to introduce you to the show. This is my first time.
Excellent.
My dad drives truck for 20 years, and he introduced me to it. His name's JD, and he loves your show.
That's what dads are for.
I know. He's a hardworking man. He's also my friend, too. Now, I have a quick little set thing I want to say, and it's going to go right to my question.
Sure.
Now, when I was a younger lad, I did my astrology chart, and I found out that the planets were almost in the exact same position of a beautiful of a perfect star. And then I also have my Rorik tarot deck with me as well.
Yeah.
I also do tarot as well. Now, I just recently saw a show called Hyperspace. It was a show on BBC. I know there's a book out there, too. I've had a lot of questions from a lot of my friends, a lot of people that I just meet, because I'm constantly always talking about spirituality. I do strongly believe that that's my calling. Me and my dad talk about that stuff quite a bit as well. And they're always telling me, you know, everything is black or white. And like Mitch, you said earlier, be skeptical. I look at, when I saw that movie Hyperspace, and this is how I perceive the universe and how we're all connected. Scientific study says be skeptical. What they're searching for is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
There is a connection between spirituality and scientific study.
Yes, sir.
You know, if you, I tell people that ask me this, look inside at that internal telescope, and instead of looking at the stars in the sky at night and seeing black and white, if you use that internal telescope, you can see all the different colors in the universe. That it's not just black and white. There's blues and reds and all these different colors in it, and that falls into effect in everything in life. Now, how would you explain to somebody asking the same question? I'm sure you've been asked that. You know, black and white, scientific studies, Big Bang, blah blah blah. It has nothing to do with spirituality or energy or anything like that. How would you be able to do that?
Well, I would ask them where is their capacity to ask questions? You know, when I talk about skepticism, I mean it in the classical sense, in which a person who is a skeptic is a person who looks and observes and questions. You know, there are some people involved in the hard sciences, particularly in academia, who have really shut down. They're not able to ask questions anymore. And I would ask these people, how can we learn? How can we grow? How can we go outside of the given, outside of the status quo, if we don't pursue questions for their own sake as an end to themselves? I'm not telling anybody to buy into anything. I'm asking them to withhold judgment until they've tried to verify something within their own experience. There may be things that you can't replicate in the laboratory. For example, there may be psychical experiences that occur between two people that can't necessarily be repeated in a laboratory setting. But there are many things that you can't replicate in a laboratory setting, like the bond of love between two individuals. So I'm asking people to be true skeptics, not to be cynics.
To find that inner telescope.
Yes, sir. I think that's a great way of putting it.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much, and I'm glad you're a first-time listener and caller.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's move to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome, and where are you calling from?
I'm Celia. I'm calling from San Diego.
Okay, go ahead, Celia.
First of all, I wanted to say thank you, George, for your work.
Well, you are welcome.
And extend that to Art.
I will.
I've listened to this show for years. And Mitch, I feel that you, I can hear it in the sound of your voice, are such a reasonable man.
Oh, thank you.
You're such a great representative for this sort of subject, because there are all kinds of, you know, crazy ideas. I get out of hand.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you.
Well, after the thank yous, we're out of time now. Thanks, Celia. No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I have a question. Back around 93, I started having a slight intuition, which became a slight obsession that I didn't follow up, about there being some kind of connection between the Sphinx and the Great Pyramid. And then I later discovered it in an Edgar Cayce book, and I wanted to know what you know about that, Mitch.
Well, the Sphinx and the Great Pyramid are both on the Giza Plateau, and there are very serious questions about whether these monuments were constructed much earlier than the traditional framework would tell us. You know, the problem is what we have with regard to the Great Sphinx and the pyramid and the Great Pyramid at Giza are theories. But these theories get repeated so frequently that people take for granted, oh yes, the monuments on the Giza Plateau are constructed 2500 BC, end of story. And we repeat these things so frequently that we forget that they're just theories. It takes someone like Edgar Cayce sometimes to come along and have the intuition that there's something more than the theories that we repeat to ourselves. And Edgar Cayce identifies a date that's much earlier than what than that which the traditional timeline would support. And suddenly people begin asking questions. They begin looking at this, and we find interesting things like the question of water erosion on the Sphinx, which really warrants scrutiny. If I were a graduate student involved in archaeology, that would be the first thing that I would want to look at. But there are a lot of forces mitigating against that. The profession doesn't support it. So what needs to happen is people outside of the status quo, the Edgar Cayces, the John Anthony Wests, the Robert Schock, have to come and weigh these things seriously and using the means that are available to them. But the wonderful thing is that a figure like Edgar Cayce provided the spark for this inquiry. There are others who did as well, but he provided the initial question mark, and that's what allows us to have this discussion today.
All right, thank you. Wildcard Lion, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Is it my turn?
I think so.
Okay. Is this George Norrie?
It better be.
Oh, hi.
Go ahead.
How are you?
Good.
I want to ask a question.
Well, go ahead. You know what? You're listening to your radio, and we're in this massive delay. So
yeah.
Turn
yeah,
that down.
I know. It's kind of confusing.
It is. Turn down your radio.
Okay.
And then you can come right back to the phone and ask your question.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Go.
Okay. Since January, my dog started acting real funny. I'm staying at my mom's house, and he just started seeing things that I was very curious to what he was seeing, because he was acting rather peculiar, and I started taking digital photographs of just, you know, whatever he was looking at. And since then, I've got over 4,000 pictures. And they range anything from images, beings, spaceships, ribbon energies. They just go on and on.
Get those pictures to us.
That's right.
Okay. I mean, I'm like, that's what I want to know. That's what my question is. Who do I bring these pictures to?
Well, you can bring them to us. Just do you know how to digitally send them?
No.
Oh. Well, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll give you an address.
Okay.
You want to do that?
Okay, that's great.
Okay, you got it. Tommy, take it away. Give her the special mailing address. Mitch, do you have one too? What's your email address?
Oh, my email address is mitch.horowitz@us.penguingroup.com. If that's too long to remember, you can just go to my website, which is mitchhorowitz.com, and that will connect you to my email.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Perry in Oakland, California.
Hi, Perry. Welcome.
Hi, I love your show. Hey, I was wondering if Mitch has any knowledge or experience with demonic possession.
I do not have any direct experience. What I've heard about it has been very disturbing. I know it's a concern to a number of people. I have no direct experience with it.
Okay, well, let me share my quick story here. George, I think you'll like this.
All
remember
right.
Oscar, who called in last week?
Oh, yeah, he calls in every Friday. I'm looking forward to his arrival tomorrow.
Well, I don't know if you're going to hear from him or not.
What?
I'm a Reiki master, and I think I moved him on.
You sent him away?
Yeah.
Well, now this will be interesting.
Well, I've had previous experience, and so what happened was when he let Rachel speak,
yes,
I felt, you know, just really disturbed by the whole situation. So I immediately sent her a bunch of light to give her comfort and hopefully to make Oscar feel really uncomfortable, if indeed that's what he is.
Well, if I remember, he said that he's been only knocked out once in 122 cases.
Yeah. Well, this is different than doing it the priest way. So what I did, like I said, I sent the light and to make him uncomfortable and make her comfortable. And then I've done this in person before with a spirit. It wasn't demonic, but it sure felt like it, and it was at a graveyard. But anyways, and to get back to that, I used the symbol, the emotional healing symbol, and visualized him while I was working on her and encouraged him to move towards light and told him that he was no longer needed or welcome here.
Now, if he shows up tomorrow night, what does this mean?
Well, it could mean a couple things. It could mean he's a fraud. It could mean it didn't work. But I'll tell you what. After I finished the sequence of events and the procedure, I started getting that same sad, weepy feeling that I did when I moved on the spirit at the graveyard of a child in Half Moon Bay.
And Mitch, Oscar is someone who's called the program a couple times, claims he is the devil's son, Satan's son.
Well, first of all, I like what the caller is describing because of the approach of using Reiki, and which has something in common with energy medicine, which is a growing field of alternative healing, I think is a very positive way of approaching this kind of thing. You know, exorcisms, insofar as they're sanctioned by the Catholic Church, and insofar as there are kind of freelance figures who anoint themselves exorcists, I think can be very traumatic for the subject or for the victim. But I think that the approach that the caller is describing is one of using positive imagery, body work, and a sense of the subject moving from one place to another in terms of his bodily energy, and I think that can only be positive from a therapeutic point of view.
Okay, let's go to our east of the Rockies line as the time ticks. Hi there.
How you doing real quick?
Yes, sir.
How you doing this evening? My question is follows. Like I said, I was alone for a period of time, and like normal, I usually like take a nap in the afternoon, and one day I just said, you know, is there anybody for me out there? And I had a 15-minute color dream of standing in the rain next to a building and this woman saying, come inside, sit down. And I had a conversation with her, and the dream ended after about 10 minutes of the conversation. And 3 months later, there I was standing in the rain at work, and this lady came in, and it was like deja vu. I knew what was going to be said next. I knew everything that was going to happen. Is this something we do? Is this remote viewing, or is this somebody just answering our questions? And I listen off the air.
All right.
I think it's something that we do. I think that very frequently in life, we get exactly what we want. The trouble is we don't know what we want. Once we've engaged in a certain degree of self-observation and we have a sense of what we really want, and we hold a positive image of it, and we adopt the feeling that we've already attained that which we want, positive things can happen. If you want a relationship and you authentically open yourself up to that, I believe you will find one.
All right, final call. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had two quick questions asked. One, I was wondering if your guest tonight was opposed or if he agreed on the theories of, like, David Icke and stuff like that.
Have you checked into the David Icke's writings, Mitch?
No, I'm afraid I'm not familiar with it.
Ah, okay. David, of course, appears on the show a couple times a year.
Okay, George, then... do you think maybe since his friend is Hillary Clinton and people like that could be said to be in those kinds of groups, you know, those Freemason groups, those cult groups?
Well, you know what? Can they be? What do you think, Mitch?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are people in positions of power who, like anyone else, have experimented with questions of metaphysics and spirituality. There are fairly reliable accounts that President Woodrow Wilson was given a reading by Edgar Cayce. As we were talking about earlier, Nancy Reagan had her own astrologer. Gerald Ford was a Freemason. Ronald Reagan was an honorary Freemason. You know, Hillary Clinton had some unusual sessions with Dr. Jean Houston. People in positions of power are like anyone else. They follow their curiosity, and that curiosity very often leads them to a spiritual experimentation.
And Gene Dixon tried to warn John Kennedy that he was going to be shot in Dallas.
Yes, sir, and Gene Dixon was welcome in the living rooms of a lot of powerful people, and Richard Nixon and his family were very interested in the positive thinking teachings of Norman Vincent Peale.
Interesting. Mitch, thanks so much for being on the program. Good luck with what's on your plate next, by the way.
What's on my plate next is I am introducing a book called The Neville Reader, which is being published in the month of June. I wrote the introduction. It's a terrific exposure to a metaphysical thinker named Neville Goddard, who is an advocate of positive thinking and the mystical power that it can impart. And I'm publishing lots of wonderful books on these subjects, which people can read about at my website, which is MitchHorowitz.com.
Thank you so much, Mitch. Appreciate you being on Coast to Coast.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure.
All right. Mitch Horowitz for Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisor, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. We'll have an update from Richard C. Hoagland, who is going to be at the Coral Castles during the eclipse of the sun. And then we'll have a full report for us at night. And then we might also talk dolphins tomorrow. And then, of course, our Friday and the Saturday night open lines. Until then, be safe, everyone. Thank you.